Great. Okay then. Right, we are in Hathersage this morning. What day are we? I'm with Suzanne
it's
Howard today.
Monday.
It's Monday.
Don't ask me the date.
18th?
Something like that.
Right, yeah. 18th November. It's cold, bright for a change. And we're in the car park at outside. And Suzanne is going to tell us about the P-District, I think. Or what your involvement is.
Absolutely.
What you do.
Yeah.
Go on then, off you go.
Okay. So I live in Hathersage. It's an absolutely beautiful place, as you can see, even in this glamorous car park location. And
yep.
I think I describe myself as a full-time Peak District enthusiast, I suppose. Absolutely love the place, everything about it. The landscapes,
right.
The scenery, the wildlife, the villages.
Have you always lived here?
No, I
haven't. Right, so you're a convert.
Well, kind of, but I grew up in Lincolnshire, actually. My mum and dad lived in Lincolnshire most of their lives. And from a very young age, they used to bring me out to the Peak District when I was a little kid.
Right.
We used to come in our 1970s caravan out to the Derbyshire Dales, because if you're in Lincolnshire and it's flat as anything, this is your closest hills.
Yep. So it's whereabouts in Lincolnshire? This is.
They live in just outside Saxelby now, but
right.
I lived in a place called Great Gonnaby, which is just outside Grantham. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, that's south Lincolnshire.
Yeah,
right,
and Caythorpe as well, which is not far out of Grantham. So.
Yeah.
So it's all very flat. So this was our local hills that we came out to.
Right.
And I have vivid memories of walking on Kinder Scout when I was about 7 or 8. And my mum and dad dragging me up there to look at the Mermaid's Pool, to try and find Mermaid's Pool, which they guaranteed me would have mermaids in it.
Right.
And didn't, and I can still taste
and
the disappointment. I
can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've found it again since. We didn't actually even find the pool at the time, let alone any mermaids, but I have found it since, and it still didn't have any mermaids in it. So it's very disappointing. But I remember being there, and I also have a vivid memory of driving down Winnetts Pass, and just seeing these towering, what seemed like cliffs above me, which was so totally alien from anything I'd seen in Lincolnshire. And it just stuck with me. And it gets under your skin, this place, I think, in a way that is pretty indefinable.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll interject a little bit, because if you travel and you come back here, you think, well, why would you go anywhere else?
Absolutely. And all the time, you know, we do travel quite a lot. I've travelled a lot during my life, but even now, recently going on holidays, you drive to the airport, and especially if you go to Manchester Airport early in the morning and you drive around past Mam Tor as the sun's rising, and you look down the valley and you think, why am I going? Why am I going anywhere? And it's so lovely to come back to. So
yeah.
Absolutely. I love the Peak District and everything about it, which is why I'm really happy that I'm part of this fabulous business called Let's Go Peak District, which is what I'd really like to talk about.
Right. Okay, then that sounds interesting.
Okay,
I am a quarter of that.
It's a business that's been running for, it's the Facebook page has been running for about 2 or 3 years, but it's been fairly dormant up until about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And we've really built it up very quickly. We post very frequently on there. And we're now followed by over 54,000 people on Facebook.
Right.
So we must be doing something right. So we've got one arm of it, the Facebook side of things, and also we're building up our Instagram page as well. This week we have a takeover of Ordnance Survey, which is where we share our photographs on the Ordnance Survey Instagram page, which is really good. They're followed by 75,000 people.
Are you invited to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ah, right.
So we're always looking for collaborations as well with things like Ordnance Survey, and also on the Facebook page, we've collaborated a lot with the Peak District National Park Authority, the National Trust, the Outdoor City based over in Sheffield. So we're always looking at doing collaborations.
So, okay, I've picked on one thing there, quarter.
Okay, so if I can backtrack a little bit then. So Let's Go Peak District is, it's a website basically, that's the backbone of it. We have a fantastic website, which is, features all the best places to stay, the most amazing places to visit, the things to do, the sights to see in the Peak District. So it's beautifully designed, it's really intuitive, easy to find things on there. Lots of features about things to do in the Peak District, and walks as well. We find our walks are really popular. We have lots of Peak District walks.
So you
walks
post
on
up
there.
Sort of popular
So we have
walks
the website is one thing, yeah.
So just to be really specific. What's the website?
Okay, sorry. The website is www.letsgopeakdistrict.co.uk.
Right. Yeah. That's nice and easy. It's amazing when you're familiar with it. You've got to raffle through.
Yeah, no,
Let's Go Peak District. Well, so Let's Go Peak District.co.uk.
Yeah. So we have all the best things to see on the Peak District are in there. And yes, we have the Facebook page as well, which is an adjunct to that. And we post on there regularly as well. And for example, going back to the walks, every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we post a local walk about the Peak District for people to follow that weekend.
So that's a weekly thing?
That's a weekly thing.
Right.
But we post three or four times every day on our Facebook page and on our Instagram page as well.
Right.
So it's inspirational things about the Peak District, things to do and sights to see. But going back to your point about I am one quarter. Let's Go Peak District is founded by, we're just four people. We're not a big corporate organisation. We don't have to stick to organisational agendas or political county boundaries. We're there to represent the Peak District in its entirety, the four counties that make up the Peak District.
Okay.
So we're there to represent everybody. And it's not just for visitors. There is a lot on there for visitors, inspiration of things to do. But it's also for local people as well, because a lot of the time I think we're all guilty of not realising what's right under our noses.
Mm.
And that's part of posting up the walks, and that kind of content is to try and get people to appreciate what's out there and what might just be on their doorstep but they don't actually know is there.
Yeah.
So it's founded by Villager Jim, who a lot of people, your listeners, may have heard of. Really fantastic wildlife and country lane photographer, professional award-winning photographer, massive following on Facebook. So he does a lot of the photography for our website and also our Facebook page and Instagram page, and he is kind of like our PR and marketing guru, I'll say.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
So he sort of handles that side of things. The other side of it is Phil Sproson, who a lot of people will know about. He takes the most amazing landscape shots of the Peak District.
Yep.
And he also happens to be a brilliant web designer. So he has built our website for us from scratch. And as I said earlier, it's a beautiful website, so it's worth having a look at. So that's a bit of a marriage made in heaven there between the two of us. So Jim takes lots of the wildlife shots. Phil takes lots of the landscape shots. So there's always lots of inspirational photography on there. It's very photo-driven, the website.
Right.
It does look beautiful. There's also Jim's wife, Jo, and she does all the very important behind-the-scenes things like bookkeeping and accounting and admin that keeps the place going, and we wouldn't be able to run without, but none of the rest of us actually know how to do.
Right.
And I do the content for the website, so I write the content about the information, things like villages and towns and that sort of thing. I do all the walks, I do lots of videos as well. So yeah. So between the four of us, we all have our roles to play, we all have lots of sort of complementary skills, and it comes together really well.
That's a full-time
pretty much
operation.
Yes, it is. And I mean, Jim's obviously got his business as well, and Jo's got her side businesses as well. Phil still runs Phil Sproson Photography,
right?
But yeah, for most of us, Let's Go Peak District does take up the vast majority of our time.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you're getting out there.
Absolutely.
And people are responding. I mean, that means 50,000 plus,
exactly, in such a short space of time.
Yeah.
And I think they follow us for our content, because we do have really interesting content on there.
That is a full-time job.
Absolutely. Totally it is,
right.
Yeah.
Because we met actually just at the Fringe, didn't we?
Mm.
That was the Skydive, maybe
that
the first time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it was,
Where we essentially did precisely what you were explaining there, was make people aware, or let people be aware of what's literally under their door, under their noses.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's happening in the Peak District. No, I'm absolutely on that wavelength. The business itself, what's your target audience? Why do you need to have to talk about the Peak District, if you see what I mean? If you've got 50,000 people, what are they actually getting out of?
I mean, we are the top independent visitor website for the Peak District.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
It's not just for visitors. This is what I was trying to emphasise.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is for trying to get people into the Peak District to shout about everything that the Peak District has to offer, and to market it as a really, you know, a beautiful, unique tourism destination for people to come to. But it's also, as I said, about the locals, about trying to explain to people what's out there and making the most of what's around them.
So have you got the statistics that, you know, is it, do the locals engage with it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just idle.
We've built up the Facebook following very quickly, but we have a really engaged audience as well, yeah.
Right.
I don't have the statistics to hand us to the breakdown of whether people are from the Peak District or elsewhere, but it's pretty much a 50-50 split, really.
Okay.
So lots of the locals do engage with us. And I know things like the regular, the walks, for example, lots of people use the walks as inspiration about where to go. And as I said at the beginning, it's not just, which we're trying to break down this myth that the Peak District is just Derbyshire, because it's not.
No.
It's Staffordshire and Yorkshire and Cheshire as well. And we try to feature all those counties. Mm. And that's why I said it's so nice that we're independent, because we don't have to follow any particular agenda. We can cover exactly what people want to see when they want to see it.
Right. Because I don't know about you, I mean, I must admit, I'm probably slightly prejudiced because I'm a dark peaker as opposed to a white peaker. Mm. I know the dark peak, like, kind of the back of your hand.
Yeah.
But when I go to the south peak, I get a really different feel.
Yeah,
and I go there for very different reasons.
Mm.
I should know it better, but I don't know, it's something, I just find myself aligned. So where do you align yourself, or do you find yourself?
I suppose I would align myself with dark peak because that's where I live. And it's,
right.
You know, it's stunningly beautiful, isn't it? All those dark edges, and it's all very brooding and Heathcliff-y. That appeals to me so much. But
right, okay.
I have to say, the White Peak is stunning. And every time you drive along there, those lovely limestone walls and just the rolling hills, it feels totally different. It really does have a different feel to it.
It does feel very different. I was the Heathcliff, I like that idea. I just, the local, we're in Hathersage, so the local players did a thing on Jane Eyre, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And things like that.
Set
history
up at
came up
Hall, yeah.
At
yeah.
a real venue.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think it does have a historical...
It does, it's Mr. Rochester's house in Jane Eyre, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Thorncliffe Hall, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. So
Thornfield Hall.
Did you go to the...
I didn't, sadly. I went to the indoor one. I didn't get tickets for the outdoor one because the outdoor one sold out instantly, I think.
But well, I think I must have been quite lucky then.
You were.
Because I got... I took my my tartan blanket.
Oh, yeah.
And sat in the garden at the top there. And the rain went round us, in fact.
Aww.
But it was very atmospheric.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
It was good. I'm slightly surprised that the players haven't kind of tried another... They did another open one, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Down at Nether Hall.
I can't remember which one it was now. We'll get our knuckles wrapped now.
I'm going to get it wrapped because I went there as well and I can't remember. What was it?
Pride and Prejudice.
Yes,
yeah,
right,
it was.
Okay.
And it was lovely.
And they, but that sort of entertainment sort of engages with the Peak District as well.
Absolutely,
yeah. So people kind of think twice about what it really is, you know, it's not just pounding around and walking on routes.
Yeah.
There's lots of other things going on here.
Yes, so inspirational, such an inspirational landscape, yeah. But going back to the White Peak, if you ever get a chance to go down to one of my favourite areas, it's around Staffordshire and around Wetton. If you've ever been along there in the Manifold Valley, absolutely stunningly beautiful place. You've got the Manifold Way, which goes from Wetton Mill, well, it goes further along, but it goes past Wetton Mill and Thor's Cave, all the way along there. It's just the most amazing landscape, absolutely beautiful.
Wetton? I don't think I've ever been there.
Ah, you need to go there then.
Is that, if I was
it's
going on my way to Macclesfield?
Yeah, well, it's down towards, no, it's more sort of Ashbourne kind of way,
around
towards Dovedale, that sort of area, it's along there.
Oh, I know Wetton, I've got it.
You've
yes,
got it now,
well,
yeah.
I don't go very often.
Yeah.
I used to go and sail at Carsington, for example.
Oh, yeah.
So you flash through all those little villages trying to get there in the shortest time. But that, again, is an area
beautiful
which is...
Beautiful around there.
Yeah. But it is very different.
It is, and you do get, such spectacular changes in the landscape in just such a short period of time.
So you capture that in all this photography?
Absolutely, Villager Jim and Phil do,
Because I've seen Phil's stuff.
Yeah.
Phil's photography.
Yeah, beautiful landscape shots,
And it's interesting that these days, if photography being so accessible, do people download it or are they buying it on frames? I mean, they want real photos.
Phil has his own website and so does Villager Jim, and people can buy the canvases and buy the prints if they want to, But what we're trying to encourage a lot of is sharing on Facebook and on Instagram. So people sharing our photographs
versions.
Very basically spreading the word about what's out there and things to see.
Yes, because I was recently... just one of those classic internet coincidences. Went kite flying one day and then got an advert.
Oh, I know,
about a competition and he just said something like, we're running an annual competition, enter here.
Right.
And you don't know anything, you know, you win a kite or something. I didn't even read it. I said, oh, I know, I'm familiar with the make. I'd flown these kites for years, and I had just suddenly flashed into my head, oh, I got a picture like that, and literally in 10 seconds just sent it off and thought nothing of it. And then 2 days later, says, you have won the annual competition.
Oh, wow.
For a competition, for a photograph, which, you know, it obviously had remained in my memory.
Yeah.
So if we went to Let's Go Peak District, are there pictures on there that are going to sort of engage people? So I'm saying, right.
Completely.
So what's the one that jumps to mind? I'm putting
you
on the spot now. Oh,
blimey, you really are putting me on the spot. There's so many. It's so difficult to choose.
Where's your favourite place? And this is. I mean, I do the same thing. And I've something jumped into mind. Don't think about it too much. You know, you said like when you went to the mermaid's pool on Kinder. Yeah. That's a memory, but that's, you know, wasn't evoked by a picture necessarily. Mm. But just to name it and come up with a picture or something that.
I tell you what, my favourite place, and there is a picture that goes with it, and I can see it in my head really clearly. My favourite place in the Peak District, if I have to pick one place, is a lesser known wood just outside Grindleford called Haywood. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I do. I've run through it.
It's so beautiful, and it's like a little microcosm of the Peak District, because you've got the most beautiful woodland with a stream running through it. You've even got a rope swing over the stream. I mean, for goodness sake, it doesn't get better than that. If you go out in one direction, you can see all the way down the Hope Valley towards Mam Tor.
Yep.
And if you go up, you're onto Frogget Edge and you can walk along the edges.
And you go through all those moss-covered rocks and
absolutely
all that stuff.
It's got millstones in there, it's got beech trees, it's got birch trees, it's just the most beautiful little place. And Phil's taken a fantastic photograph. In the spring, it's carpeted in bluebells, and he's got a beautiful photograph of an old fallen down tree that's just covered around it in bluebells. And that was taken in Haywood, and that's, to me, that sticks out there.
Well, there you are.
Beautiful,
so
beautiful.
Didn't take much to provoke.
There you go, no, it didn't, did it? But there's so many photographs on there, and it really, hopefully, inspires people to go to different places all the time.
I have a slightly more provocative case. The Peak District, I'm not changing tack deliberately, but you mentioned Grindleford, you mentioned villages, you mentioned these amazing places. But how does the Peak District sustain itself as a place? Because these villages are struggling, as to remain.
Yeah, they are. But I think what's brilliant about the Peak District, it is not just a holiday destination. It's still a living, working community.
Right.
And, you know, it's been based on farming and obviously mining, not so much now, but these sort of quarrying industries for centuries, and it's still doing exactly what it's always done for centuries. Right. The people come and visit and the people go, but the daily life of the villages carries on. And of course, you know, they're struggling like they all are all over the UK. But I think the things like, for example, we put a picture up recently of the Hope Cement Works.
Yes.
And we put it, you know, love it or hate it, it's there, it's a really important part of the valley. And so there's so much affection there for it. You get the people that say, oh, it's an eyesore, it should never have been built. And of course, it was there way predating the National Park.
It's 90 years old.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Year, I think,
yeah. So, I mean, it predates the National Park by a long way. But there's so much affection for it. And I think it's a symbol of the fact that the Peak District is a working community still today, just as it always has been. So it's not just this sort of museum of pretty places to go.
No.
It's just a living.
I think it's an important message to get over, especially as we all, you know, earn a living in and around this area.
Exactly.
It's a passion of mine, you know, to get the kids growing up thinking they can stay and enjoy this, rather than think there's no hope or there's no jobs or
absolutely.
There is.
And the Peak District's so perfectly located. I mean, you've got all the big gateway cities and towns all around it, so there's no reason that people can't go out, and, you know, the kids can't go out to Sheffield and Manchester and do their university years and then come back
as a parent. Do you want to come back to you?
Exactly.
Mine are all spread all over the world though. Bizarrely, my daughter is coming back today, as it happens.
Ah.
I haven't seen her for about 18 months.
Oh, there you go. So, she'll probably never want to leave.
Well, yes, we have instilled, as you know, whether you do it deliberately or never, the sort of the understanding of the outdoors, and they appreciate it. But they can go, and they do come back.
But this is like me being
unique.
A kinder scout as a 7-8 year old.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets under your skin at that age, and then you don't want to go.
Yeah.
We do, if I can just have a little plug. On the on Let's Go Peak District, we have kids walks. We've developed kids walks, which are all designed with kids in mind. So there's things along the way. They tend to be short. They tend to be easy terrain. There's things like caves to explore and rope swings to play on and trees to climb. And the whole idea of it is to try and get the kids to enjoy the landscape that they're in and appreciate it, so that in the future they'll want to be part of it and they'll bring their own kids back there.
Well, that is a good idea. It's like, actually, I was just a sort of silly thing, kids' menus. You know, instead of putting the now pubs or cafes and things, they're actually putting on proper kids' food. As opposed to, some of it's actually mini adult portions, whatever that is, but it's not, what do you call it, those chicken nuggets and chips type thing. And these are sort of, these sort of things sort of kind of, you know, I suppose it brings your thoughts together, you know, forget walking out there, building up an appetite, and then having decent food, local food, that sort of idea.
Yeah.
And these things sort of kind of tend to generate themselves, though, and people come back for more.
Exactly.
And they spend money, which is more to the point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you do have, you find a lot of pubs and restaurants now are really branding themselves on locally sourced products.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a really big thing, I think. Yeah.
I think, because you do all these things, there's the little things that add up. And I think that, you know, when you've got a defined area like the Peak District, it's almost comprehensible. Some people don't understand that the Peak District has something. It's not like saying to the whole world we have to sort something out. You know, it's way beyond people's imagination. But something that you appreciate what works in an area like the Peak District. It's
absolutely
unique. It's not the Lake District, it's not Northumberland, it's not...
It's far better than those.
No, I can go to all the other places and appreciate them.
Of course you can.
But the Peak District has its unique features, and that's the way it should be looked at. And one of them is it has to be sustainable and moving into the future. So you feel part of that future with your...
Absolutely, yeah. It's really, really exciting to be involved in, because, as I said, we've grown so quickly in such a short space of time, but it does kind of feel like we're on the cusp of something even bigger.
Good.
And every day it's getting bigger and bigger.
Well, this kind of thing, the podcast getting out there, is a collaboration type project, and meeting different people. And as I said, we've only met each other, but it's actually 2 years, I guess.
Yeah,
since
I think it is, actually.
We wave each other, that sort of thing. You know, you wave. So that's great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, I think, as ever, we talk forever.
And we talk too much.
So, no, it's probably me, but it's part of the thing. So I'm going to say thank you very much, Suzanne.
Thank you, Martin. It's been a pleasure.